Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, what a great day to be a Cowboys fan. Whew. That was such a fun game to watch yesterday, but I'll save that for when I get into the afternoon games, because I tend to go in order of games, so I'll get to that awesomeness once I get to the afternoon games. But let's get started with the Week 11 recap. We had some very interesting games, and since it is about the midway point in the season, you know, shit starts getting really sticky once Thanksgiving rolls around. This is when football gets real. The losses get more real. The playoff picture it gets more shaped out. So we see a lot going on. And then also, this past weekend, we saw it's not easy to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, because it looks like a couple of guys either have lost their starting jobs or will lose their starting jobs. And there's a whole bunch of quarterback controversies on certain teams that are on shaky ground right now. So let's get it started with the Chicago Bears at the Atlanta Falcons. That was a crazy game. I expected it to be, just because both teams are very mediocre, so they were going to match up well against each other. You know, Justin Fields, he's been having a spectacular season. He had yet another great game yesterday. He went 14 for 21, 153 yards and one touchdown through the air. But he also had 18 carries for 85 yards and one touchdown. Now, unfortunately, it looks like he did injure his shoulder. He landed hard, and luckily it wasn't his throwing shoulder. It is his left shoulder. So it shouldn't affect him throwing the ball, but apparently it hurt him pretty bad. And you could tell it was bugging him for a while there. So and right now his status is up in the air for the next game, which I mean, that's not really shocking. I mean, at this point, the Bears are pretty much out of things. They're not a legit playoff contender. So if they were to sit him down for a couple of games or the rest of the season, I wouldn't have a problem with that, just because, you know, they need an offensive line. And if Fields is going to run around, I mean, compared to other quarterbacks, he's a pretty small guy. He's very elusive, and he has great arm, and he could just get away from everybody. But unfortunately, he's not built like a Josh Allen is, for example. Josh Allen's a little bit bigger, where Justin Fields is much smaller than him. So he takes a hit, it's going to be a big deal. And you know, with the offensive line issues for the Bears, hey man, I wouldn't be shocked if they sat him for the rest of the season. But the Falcons did end up getting the win, 27-24. It was a close game all the way throughout, and the Falcons were just able to get the better of the Bears in the fourth quarter, and they walked away with a game-winning interception by Hawkins, which basically closed out the game. And then also the Falcons' Cordarrelle Patterson, he had a 103-yard kickoff return yesterday, which was just insane to see. And I believe he has the most kickoff returns for touchdowns in NFL history, I think with like 9 touchdowns, something crazy like that. So he had a great day, and I feel like that was the difference in the game, is that one play, just because it was so close, and you really needed something random like that to happen, because offensively the Falcons are pretty stagnant, and it looks like they've lost Kyle Pitts, their tight end, for the rest of the season. He has been placed on the IR, so he's at least out for a month. But he's got an MCL tear that he's got to have surgery on, so it's possible he's going to miss the rest of the season as well. But all around, good game by both teams. Then the Cleveland Browns were at the Detroit Bills. The Buffalo Bills. They played the game in Detroit just because of the huge snowstorm in Buffalo. And it really was just a good game from the Bills. They dominated basically from start to finish. They won the game 31-23. This is going to be the last game for the Browns with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback because they go on their bye week next week. Then they come back from their bye week, and Deshaun Watson is going to be their starting quarterback for the rest of the season. So Jacoby Brissett, actually, he didn't have a terrible game. He went 28 for 41, 324 yards and three touchdowns. So that's a pretty solid outing for him. But still, I mean, the Browns, they had so many follies and a couple of just really bad turnovers and just some calls that weren't really going their way. Amari Cooper had a spectacular game. He had 8 receptions, 113 yards and 2 touchdowns. So it's nice to see that he's still doing his thing. But the Bills, they actually did what they're not known for doing and what a lot of people has felt is their weakness, and that is they had a ground attack. Singletary, he was pretty much their backbone yesterday. He had 18 carries, 86 yards, and 1 touchdown. And it was just a really an overall efficient day for him. From Josh Allen, no interceptions, which is the most important stat there. And so, yeah, nice solid win from the Bills. And another loss for the Browns. Then the Philadelphia Eagles were at the Indianapolis Colts. And this was a very surprising game. I did not expect to see the Eagles struggle so much against the Colts. Because the Colts, they're not really that good of a team, especially with just how their season has gone. I mean, obviously, they have an interim head coach, so that usually means that your team has had an awful season. But, I mean, to start the game, it looked like the Colts were actually going to have a pretty solid game. You know, Jonathan Taylor came right out, had a nice couple of runs there. And the Colts defensively were really holding it down against the Eagles. But then the Eagles just were able to get one solid drive going in the fourth quarter. They did end up scoring 14 points in the fourth quarter, but it was really like the last drive that they had was really, it was all Jalen Hurts. He was the main reason why they came back here. Although, you know, the Eagles defense did hold it down as well. But on the offensive side of things, Jalen Hurts just took over. He ended up having 16 carries for 86 yards and a touchdown. And he ended up scoring the game-winning touchdown as well. And the Colts, they just couldn't get anything going. They had just poor offense as usual. Defense was holding it down as best they could. But, you know, when your offense can't get going, it becomes an issue. That's really no shock from the Colts this season. But the Eagles, they move on to 9-1 and get another close win. Then the boring game of the day ended up being the New York Jets at the New England Patriots. This game was tied at 3 all the way up until the fourth quarter. And by that, I mean it was tied all the way to literally the last play of the game. Neither team could score a field goal. There were a couple missed field goals on the Patriots side of things. But the Jets, it was really one of the worst offensive performances of all time. In the second half, they literally had 2 yards. 2 yards in the third and fourth quarter. They had 2 quarters and they went 2 yards. And just Zach Wilson, he just does not look good at all. He is just making some really horrendous mistakes. And it really wasn't his fault that they lost, because actually the reason why the Jets lost is in hilarious fashion. So it looks like that we're just going to head into overtime. The Jets stall out on their last drive in the fourth quarter, and there's like, I think, 14-ish seconds left on the clock. They gotta punt the ball. They punt the ball, and all of a sudden, the Patriots' Marcus Jones, he is running, and he's making cuts, and he's getting some blocks, and all of a sudden, you see homeboy running down the field, and I'm even laughing my ass off just because I caught the end of this because I was watching the Eagles-Colts game. That game ended, and then it switched over to the Jets-Patriots game. And I was just laughing my ass off because as soon as the guy got the punt and he kind of started running up the sideline, I was like, oh, shit, this is how the Jets game is going to end. They're going to lose yet another game to the Patriots, and this is how they would do it. And as I see him running into the end zone, I'm just laughing my ass off. Like, that is how the Jets, that's just the Jets, you know? So, Marcus Jones returned an 84-yard punt for the go-ahead touchdown. So the Patriots could win 10-3. And really, this is one game that actually ended up having some quarterback controversy at the end. Because as I mentioned, for the Jets, Zach Wilson did not look good at all. He actually hasn't looked good for the last couple of weeks. You know, he came back from injury and it looked like it sparked the Jets a little bit. a few weeks ago, but now it's just not looking good for the Jets. And so after the game last night, this loss is on everybody, of course, but when you're the quarterback, you always have to go to the podium and you can't ever blame anybody else. And Zach Wilson was asked point blank, do you feel this is on you? And he just basically said no and walked off. And that's just always the wrong thing to do. If you're the starting quarterback and you just suffered a really bad loss, you always take the blame, because you get the glory when you win, but you got to take the blame in the end. And so Robert Saleh was asked after the game if they were going to make a quarterback change, and he said, no, absolutely not. Well, just a couple of hours ago, his press conference was released, and from today, and he was asked today, what's the deal at quarterback? And he did not say that Zach Wilson is a starting quarterback. He basically said they're going to reevaluate the position, which in my opinion means we're going to see Joe Flacco starting this weekend for the Jets, which is, I don't know if that's much of an improvement, but I kind of feel like when you say something like that, you're going to be going a different route. The Patriots did not have a great game yesterday either, but they at least did what you're supposed to do. Defensively, they really held it down, and then they just had the walk-off win, because that's what the Patriots do. Looking good for the Patriots right now, even though they're a very shoddy-ass team. But the Jets, both teams are 6-4, and it's just crazy how different they are looking right now, because I feel like the Jets basically lost their season with this loss here. Then the Los Angeles Rams were at the New Orleans Saints, and this one just was another snooze fest. The Saints got the win 27-20. Matthew Stafford actually ended up suffering another concussion this week, so he was taken out of the game in the second half. And if you'll notice, in the second half, the Rams only scored 6 points in the fourth quarter. So it was just another bad, bad offensive showing from the Rams. And for the Saints, it was not bad. I mean, Andy Dalton had a very efficient game. He went 21 for 25, 260 yards and 3 touchdowns. So good for him. And then Chris Olave, their rookie wide receiver, has had a very silent but deadly season. Nobody's really talking about him. Now, I do have him on one of my fantasy football teams, so I do know all about Chris Olave and what he's done for me this season. But he's been very consistent for the Saints, and I kind of feel like this dude is going to be one of the next up-and-coming receivers who just starts to make an impact for his team, because he already is in his rookie season. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens if the Saints actually become a good team, if he gets a good quarterback. He could be something else. In this game, he had 5 receptions, 102 yards, and a touchdown, and he ended up making a really big 52-yard TD grab to just extend their lead when the Rams kind of started to make it a little bit closer. Just another stinker from the Rams. And I mean, I really wasn't expecting much from the Saints this season. So, for them to get that win, good for them. Then the Detroit Lions were at the New York Giants, and this was probably the most surprising game of the day, at least in my opinion. Just because, you know, I haven't really believed in the Giants. I'm not sold on them. I just feel like they're getting some good wins, of course, but they're mostly lucky wins. But I just don't think they're a good team overall, and I don't think they're a playoff team. Now, they may make the playoffs, but I don't really think they're a playoff team. And the Lions kind of showed why yesterday. The Lions dominated them from start to finish. They ended up getting the win 31-18. The Lions are on a 3-game winning streak, which is just shocking for them. That almost never happens. So congratulations to them. But the Giants, they just had a very quiet game. Daniel Jones did end up having 341 yards, but I feel like that was more in garbage time, because they did score 12 points in the fourth quarter. But it really was not a close game at all, and a total stinker from the Giants in their home stadium, nonetheless, to the Detroit Lions. Then the Carolina Panthers were at the Baltimore Ravens. This was another snooze fest. Shocking egg-laying from the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, it's not really shocking from the Panthers. I kind of feel like this is another game where the quarterback, I feel like Baker Mayfield, this is kind of like the nail in his coffin is this season with the Panthers. I kind of feel like now he's going to end up just becoming a journeyman type quarterback the rest of his career, where he's probably just going to be a backup or maybe get a starting position for somebody like the Texans, some trash team like that. But I'm pretty sure his career is done. And it showed in this game. I mean, he's had a horrible season, but this game was probably one of his worst games he's ever had in his entire career. Just some really weird interceptions, even from a defensive lineman. But I mean, the Ravens weren't much better. They did get the win 13-3, but they didn't get their 10 points until the fourth quarter. Lamar Jackson went 24 for 33, 209 yards and one interception. His wide receiver of choice was Robinson with 9 receptions and 128 yards. So they just were quiet on the offensive side of the ball. Whereas defensively, they looked pretty good. But that was just pretty much a stinker from the Ravens there. And then the Washington Commanders were at the Houston Texans. Commanders ended up taking a commanding lead and won this one 23-10. This is another game that ended up having some quarterback controversy at the end of the game because Ron Rivera basically confirmed that he is going to go with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback for the rest of the season, regardless of what happens with Carson Wentz. And he's apparently told Carson Wentz. They've already had the conversation. He was also asked straight up why this change is being made, and straight up he said, because Taylor Heinicke is winning. And that says a lot, because honestly, Taylor Heinicke is a pretty mediocre quarterback. I could tell he gives the Commanders a nice little spark, especially more than Wentz does. I think overall, Wentz is the better quarterback physically, but I feel like the team seems to follow Heinicke better. I kind of feel like this is also the last nail in Carson Wentz's coffin as well. I feel like him and Baker Mayfield are going to be the next two journeyman quarterbacks, where they're going to be backups. If they're a starter, it's going to be for a shit team. Or if they start, it's going to be because the starting quarterback ahead of them got injured. I pretty much just kind of see them, their careers just fading out, because it's just been bad for both of them. And it obviously shows with Wentz. He is the issue. I kind of feel like with Carson Wentz, he's that dude who's been told his entire life that he's great at everything, so he hasn't really had to work for anything, and he just kind of walks in the room like, hey, I'm Carson Wentz. I'm the starting quarterback. I don't have to do anything to win this job or keep this job. And, I mean, really, if you think about it, he lost his job in Philadelphia. Yes, he did get injured, but when he came back, he lost his job again. Then he was traded to Indianapolis. Then he lost his job in Indianapolis because he completely faltered at the end of last season. So the Colts ended up trading him to Washington, and now he has lost his job to Taylor Heinicke, who had a whopping 191 yards passing yesterday, by the way. He went 15 for 27, 191 yards, no touchdowns. So Heinicke's just a very mediocre quarterback, and he beat out Carson Wentz for the starting job. So that says a lot about you, Carson Wentz, that you are obviously the common denominator. You might want to humble yourself a bit. All right, moving on to the afternoon games. We had the Cincinnati Bengals at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, this actually was a pretty close game till the end. The Bengals did get the win 37-30. Joe Burrow had a great day, 24 for 39, 355 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So Joe Burrow, man, this guy, he's just setting everybody on fire. If it wasn't for how great of a season Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen have been having, I think we'd hear more about Joe Burrow. But, I mean, the Bengals also are not, they're not having as great of a season as they were last year. But, I mean, he just lit them up. But, hey, for on the opposite side of things for the Steelers, Najee Harris finally had a bust-out game where he went 20 carries, 90 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He had this huge touchdown where he just hurtled over the defender right into the end zone. T. Higgins for the Bengals had 148 yards, filling in there for Jamar Chase. And it was a lot, like I said, it was a lot closer than I expected, but then again, it is a division matchup. It is Steelers versus Bengals, but the Bengals got the win, and the Steelers just look like an awful team, but I'm not surprised by that. Then the the Las Vegas Raiders were at the Denver Broncos, and this was an extremely surprising game. I mean, it was very close all the way throughout. It kind of looked like the Broncos were finally going to eke out a win. And then on the last drive for the Broncos, they could have ran the clock out, and it was just this very odd sequence of events where on the third down play, when, you know, Russell Wilson could have just ran it and maybe slid and just let the clock run down for probably another 40 seconds or so, this game might not have gone into overtime. Instead, he just threw this awful pass, stopped the clock, and then they had to punt the ball. And the Raiders were able to drive down the field, get the game-tying field goal, head into overtime. They won the coin toss, and it was a beautiful pass from Derek Carr to Davante Adams, who was wide-ass open, to just walk it on into the end zone for the overtime win for the Las Vegas Raiders, who really needed this one, 22-16. I don't think there's any type of playoff contender, but they really just needed this win, especially after this entire season. They've just been coming up short. Derek Carr had a fantastic game, 23 for 37, 307 yards, 2 touchdowns. Josh Jacobs had a solid game, 24 carries, 109 yards. And then, like I said, Davante Adams, who has been the man this season for the Raiders, 7 receptions, 141 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He went off yesterday. And there was even questions that he may not play yesterday because he had an injury. I can't recall if it was hamstring or something like that, but he had a injury kind of later in the week during practice, and it was questionable whether he was going to play, but he came to play and had a huge game. And then the last game of the afternoon, which was the most enjoyable in my opinion, was my Dallas Cowboys at the Minnesota Vikings. Luckily, we only heard that stupid skull chant at the very beginning of the game because the Cowboys did not give the Vikings anything to cheer about yesterday. As a matter of fact, towards the end of the game, you could actually hear more Cowboys fans cheering on the Cowboys than you could Vikings fans, because obviously I'm sure they hightailed it on out of there in the third quarter. The Cowboys demolished the Vikings 40-3. This was by far one of the most enjoyable games I've watched from the Cowboys in a very long time. It was great to see them get an actual signature win of the season. They beat a good team. Even though this team did not look good yesterday, that's because the Cowboys played such a great game. Defensively, we were on fire, man. 7 sacks on Kirk Cousins. Micah Parsons made some great plays yesterday. DeMarcus Lawrence made some great plays yesterday. Trayvon Diggs shut down Justin Jefferson. Not a lot of people are talking about Diggs this season like they were last year, because Diggs was getting all the interceptions. But give Diggs his props. Dude has been shutting down receivers all season long, and he shut down arguably the best receiver in the game yesterday. He shut his ass down. And, Jefferson was pretty much a non-factor yesterday. He made a couple of plays, but other than that, he wasn't making the big plays, and that says a lot. Also, Dalvin Cook, he didn't make any big plays, so it all relied on Kirk Cousins. You know, Thielen actually had a couple of good catches, but the defense was able to just back it up and just hold it down, and they were able to get the win. And then offensively, like, it is so awesome to see what they have at the running back position with Tony Pollard and Zeke Elliott. They are just so beautiful together. You got Pollard, who could just eat up chunks of yardage, but then you got Zeke, who is just getting touchdown after touchdown, making beautiful blocks, making great passes when he needs to. Catching great passes when he needs to, and I'm just loving this two-headed monster at running back. And then CeeDee Lamb made one of the biggest plays of the game yesterday. Right before halftime, he and Dak connected for this beautiful pass, toe drag swag. And let me just say, what the fuck was that bullshit that the refs did? I don't usually complain about what refs do, but what the fuck was that shit? You let the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb catches the ball. And it looked like, I'm thinking they're going to review it just because it kind of looked like he bobbled it. Now, when you actually see the replay, nah, he caught that shit clean. But they didn't review it. They let the Cowboys take a timeout. They let the Cowboys line up for the field goal, a 60-yard field goal, by the way. They let the dude kick the 60-yard field goal. He makes it. And then all of a sudden, the refs are like, oh, no, we got to review that last catch. What the fuck is that? Where the hell did that come from? Like, it's one thing when they review it, like, right then and there, but the Cowboys literally called a timeout. And during that timeout, they didn't think to say, oh, let's review that. Come the fuck on. Now, what pissed me off is I was like, well, kicker ain't going to come out and make this 60-yard kick again. No, homeboy came out, made the 60-yard kick even better this time. Maher, It's great to have a field goal kicker who's automatic now. From even 60 yards out, he made a 50-yarder yesterday, too. So this team just could do no wrong yesterday. This was probably the most perfect game from the Cowboys overall, and it was so fucking enjoyable. I got to watch it from start to finish. I know in other markets, they shut the game off and just switched over to another game. I live in Texas, and so they're not going to shut off any Cowboys game because we are all intrigued by this Cowboys game, especially one like this when we dominated from start to finish. It was beautiful to watch. I did not get bored. I had the biggest smile on my face all the way, was cheering the whole time and loving it. Dak had an amazing game, went 22 for 25, 276 yards and 2 touchdowns. As I said, Tony Pollard, though, is the man of the game. He had 15 carries, 80 yards, but he also had 6 receptions, 109 yards, and 2 receiving touchdowns. So we're going to call that a perfect game from the Cowboys, great game from the Cowboys. And if they play like that, y'all better watch out. Now, we know the Cowboys are choke artists in the playoffs, but if they play like that, and there really ain't nobody in the NFC right now who's making waves. Because even the Eagles have looked pretty weak the last couple of weeks. And they're beatable. Even though the Cowboys already lost to them, we'll see what happens on Christmas Eve. But you better look out for the Cowboys, because defensively, they are the best in the league defensively. They lead the league in sacks, and we can make any quarterback's life hell. If we just hold off on those freaking, if we don't get in our own way, Cowboys are a force to be reckoned with, especially after yesterday's showing. But we'll see what they got on Thanksgiving, because the Vagiants are coming to town. And then Sunday Night Football was also a good game. It was the Kansas City Chiefs at the Los Angeles Chargers. And the Chiefs eked out another close one, 30-27. I'm not shocked. Like, at first, it looked like the Chargers were going to come out and they were going to play a good game. And then the Chargers do what the Chargers do. Just fall apart. I knew they left too much time on the clock for the Chiefs. Because they did, they drove down the field. They needed a touchdown to go up and take the lead, and that's exactly what they did. They went up and took the lead, but they left way too much time on the clock for Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs had 3 timeouts. Plus, I think there was like a minute 45 left on the clock. So I kind of had a feeling. I knew what was going to happen. Mahomes was going to drive down the field, and Travis Kelce was going to catch the game-winning touchdown, which he did. By the way, Travis Kelce had 6 receptions, 115 yards, and 3 touchdowns yesterday. 3. Another 3 touchdown game from Travis Kelce. That dude is just something else. And then Patrick Mahomes, 20 for 34, 329 yards, and 3 touchdowns. But then they also had some help on the ground as well from Pacheco, 15 carries, 107 yards. And it wasn't a horrible game from the Chargers. It really looked like they were going to bounce back and come on strong, but, you know, their defense just really let them down there in the end, and until the Chargers are able to get over this hump, they're never going to be able to do it. Also of note, Patrick Mahomes has never lost a road game to any AFC West team yet. He is 14-0 in his career against the AFC West in away games. This dude just keeps on winning. It's crazy, but he keeps on winning, and this team, this Chiefs team, is not that impressive. I mean, other than Kelce, he had, like, no receivers last night. I believe Tony, their new wide receiver, he was injured at some point during last night's game, and he was, like, their only receiver. Juju Smith-Schuster didn't play. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he also got injured. Like, the Chiefs had players already injured coming into the game. Lost a whole bunch of other dudes coming into the game, or while the game was going on. Defense is pretty mediocre at best, but Patrick freaking Mahomes just is carrying this team, and it's absolutely insane and nuts to watch. All right, and then tonight's matchup in Mexico City is San Francisco 49ers at the Arizona Cardinals. Tonight, Colt McCoy is getting the start. Kyler Murray is missing his second game tonight. And I don't think it really matters. I feel like the 49ers are just the overall better team. Now, this is a divisional matchup, so anything can happen. The Niners currently are a 7.5-point favorite, but I just think they're just a better team at every position on the field. Kyle Shanahan, he's a better coach. And Arizona just has not found their identity. They have not got it going. Now, granted, last week was probably their best game of the season, and Colt McCoy was their quarterback. So we'll see if he's able to provide yet another spark for them this week, but I'm not really expecting that. I have the 49ers winning this one 27-14. All right, now let's get into my top 10 NBA power rankings for the week. Number one, I have moved up the Boston Celtics because they are in a 9-game winning streak. They are 13-3 overall in the season, and they just have not let up. They picked up right where they left off last season, and including Jason Tatum, who is just on fire. This week, the Celtics beat up on the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Atlanta Hawks, and the New Orleans Pelicans. They're currently averaging 120 points per game right now, so they're just outscoring every motherfucker on the court. Jason Tatum's averaging about 30 points per game right now, and overall, and also 7 rebounds per game. So he's not only getting it done by scoring, but he's also getting some rebounds as well and making some big moves in the paint. So the Celtics, they just look really fucking good right now. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 11-4, 6-4 in their last 10 games. They had a down week this week. They lost to the Atlanta Hawks and the Philadelphia 76ers, but they did get a win against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I think it's really just mostly because Giannis, he's taken off a couple of games. And so when you're missing Giannis, that's going to be a big problem. He's a huge chunk. He's basically the team. And right now, the Bucks are averaging about 50 rebounds per game, which is just nuts. It leads the league right now, but they're having a great season. Even though they're having a down week, hey, man, they started off the season undefeated. You're going to have a down week. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Phoenix Suns. Overall record of 10-6, 5-5 in their last 10 games. Kind of had a down week as well. They lost to the Miami Heat and the Utah Jazz, but just barely. Both of those games, they lost by like a point or two. And so they were close. They beat Milwaukee and Toronto and lost to Boston. I was reading the wrong thing. They lost to Miami and Utah, yes, by a couple points, and they beat Golden State. I was looking at the wrong line. I was looking at the number four people. Anyways, back to the Suns. Down week, but still, they're a solid team. The Big Three is just having a great, solid season. Really, none of them have let up, and they've just the Suns continue to roll in the Western Conference. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Atlanta Hawks. Overall record of 10-6, 6-4 in their last 10 games, and this team is really a huge surprise right now. This past week, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks and the Toronto Raptors and lost to the Boston Celtics. But man, DeJounte Murray and Trae Young are just on fire. Both of them are just knocking down the three-pointers. Trae Young is just, he's getting assists like crazy. I believe he's like either second or third in the league in assists per game. So this Hawks team offensively is just something else. And they're beating some really legit teams, at least this point in the season they are. So we'll see how it goes on as the season wears on. But really, this DeJounte Murray trade in the offseason is really paying off for the Hawks. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Utah Jazz. They just will not go away. They are 12-6 on the season. They actually lead the Western Conference. It's just I don't really believe in them. They're hard to really get behind so far, so it's really difficult for me to put them even above at five. I was trying to figure out any way I could like drop them past a couple of these other teams, but the Jazz are just playing really well right now. 6-4 in the last 10 games. This past week, their only loss was to the Knicks, and they got wins against the Phoenix Suns and the Portland Trail Blazers, so two good teams. They're averaging about 118 points per game right now. And Mike Conley, he's been having a great season so far, but he did suffer a knee injury. It doesn't look like it's a tear. It looks like it's more of a sprain, so he's probably only going to miss a couple of weeks, but we'll see if that kind of affects them over time here. But it's just really weird to see that the Jazz literally redid their entire team, and they didn't even really put a lot of effort into it, and yet they're leading the Western Conference right now. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Cleveland Cavaliers, overall record of 10-6, 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Milwaukee Bucks, but got wins against the Charlotte Hornets and the Miami Heat. And it's just all about Donovan Mitchell. Dude's averaging nearly 30 points per game. And he just, it's just crazy to see how well he's fitting in with the Cavaliers. He was obviously the missing piece that they needed. And we'll see what happens come playoff time, because he also is huge in the playoffs. Even though the Jazz never won anything with him in the playoffs, I think it could be a different tune out here in the Eastern Conference. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Memphis Grizzlies, overall record of 10-7, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the New Orleans Pelicans and the Brooklyn Nets, but got a win against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Ja Morant, he did get injured, but it doesn't look like it's anything serious, so he took off a couple of games, and I feel like that's what accounted for their losses there. But overall, the Grizzlies are just a really good team, really solid defensive team, and I think that's what really puts them at an advantage in the Western Conference, because there really aren't, at this point in time, not a lot of really good defensive teams in the Western Conference, and they probably are the top defensive team right now, or one of them. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 10-6. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the New York Knicks and the Dallas Mavericks, but then they also got a win against the Dallas Mavericks as well. And it's just all about Nikola Jokic. He leads the team in points, assists, rebounds, and he pretty much is the entire team. So unless that dude gets injured, it looks like this team's going to be competitive in every single game. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Dallas Mavericks, overall record of 9-7, 6-4 in their last 10 games. They beat the Clippers and the Denver Nuggets this week, and then lost to the Houston Rockets and the Denver Nuggets. And this team's just all about Luka Doncic. He's dominating in every category for this team. He actually leads the league in points per game with 33.5 points per game. He's just on fire, having a phenomenal season. Now the record for the Mavericks isn't really showing that. It's actually showing how much they depend on him. So I kind of feel like the Mavericks may need to make a trade at some point if a decent player is out there to help him out, because I don't really feel like Luka's going to be able to carry them to a championship all by himself. He should be able to get them to the playoffs, but I don't know if they're going to be able to win a championship with one player. It's kind of like Nikola Jokic with the Nuggets. They need a little bit more beyond him to win a championship. And then rounding out my top 10 NBA power rankings this week, the Portland Trail Blazers, overall record of 10-6, 5-5 in their last 10 games. They got a win this week over San Antonio Spurs, but lost to the Brooklyn Nets and the Utah Jazz. They're starting to fall off a little bit. I wasn't really believing in the Blazers much, just because it's Damian Lillard, and he's the best part about their team. I just didn't really believe in really anybody else on their team. But they still are there, 10-6, but we'll see if they're able to maintain that throughout the rest of the season. Then we also had college basketball has begun, and so I'm going to go ahead and name off the top 10 AP college basketball rankings for this week. And I'm pretty excited because the Texas Longhorns are pretty damn good in basketball this year, and they are actually in the top 10. They just beat Gonzaga this week. And not only did they beat Gonzaga, they kicked Gonzaga's ass. And that says a lot, because Gonzaga is one of the best teams in the country. And that's just fucking awesome to see them dominate a team like Gonzaga. So let's get into the college basketball top 10 rankings for the week. Starting off with number 1 this week is the University of North Carolina. They're 4-0, looking great, starting the season off great. Number 2 this week, Houston, they're 5-0. Number 3, Kansas, 4-0. Number 4, my Texas Longhorns, who are 3-0. Number 5, Virginia, who are 5-0. Number 6, Gonzaga, 3-1. Number 7, Baylor, 4-1. Number 8, Duke, 3-1. Number 9, Arkansas, 3-0. And number 10, Creighton, 4-0. So, yeah, it's great now that we have college basketball on tap, especially because college football is slowly coming to an end. The last couple of weeks of football are upon us, college football are upon us, where this is the last Longhorns game for this week. this coming Friday against Baylor, and then a few other teams. This is the last game of their week, and then, of course, the conference championships will happen, and then all the bowl games will be set, and the college football season will be coming to an end. So we'll be getting more into college basketball once the college football season comes to a close. So it's pretty crazy, but football season flies by like that. So yeah, that is today's episode, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.